podcast series, devised and hosted by me, David Roth, and in collaboration with ANU, the Museum of the Jewish People, that's so much more than a museum. ANU is a unique global institution that helps bind the Jewish community by telling the ongoing, extraordinary, and unique story of the Jewish people. In this special Passover broadcast series, I talk to our guests about their individual stories and who, from history or living today, they'd like to invite as their Passover Seder service guest. To find out more about this series, go to mysederguest.com, but not before you've listened to this. Joining me in this edition of our podcast is Sharona Paul. Sharona, thank you very much indeed for joining.
My pleasure.
Sharona, you were born in the Old City of Jerusalem and lived in the Jewish quarter. Your father was a rabbi who was also a shaliach and travelled around the world supporting Jewish communities. You studied criminology. You now live in the UK with your family. Many people who visit Israel probably walk through the Old City, the narrow cobbled streets. You can almost hear the clattering as we describe it. But they do that as tourists. Sharona, what was it like being brought up within the historic walled city?
Well, when I, as a little child, I didn't really appreciate where I was and the historic environment that I grew up. And to be fair, when we moved there, it was soon after the Six-Day War. So it was all very dusty. There was no cobbles and pavements. It was all just dirt roads and it was very underdeveloped. Well, it was just all the buildings were just coming up and coming up. So it was a lot of noise, a lot of construction going. But I didn't really appreciate. I was just a little girl. I didn't really appreciate where I was. But now when I speak to my non-Jewish friends and I tell them, I always say, oh, you have to go to Jerusalem, particularly the old city, the history, it's palatable. You feel it everywhere you go. There is some in the Cardo where they rediscovered the ancient Roman shopping street, if you like. The floor, the grounds, I tell them because they're not Jewish, I tell them that's the grounds that Jesus walked on himself. For them, that it's everything. But also for us as Jews, it's Kotel, to touch the Kotel and know that it was the outside wall of the temple. You can't get closer to history than that.
Was there a closeness of all the residents in the old city in those early
days?
Yes,
very much. We were very much, very close-knit community. We had different shuls, so each shul had its own community, but it was everyone knew everyone. Everyone knew everyone business as well. And it was very, and what was beautiful about that time of the Rova is that it wasn't just a religious, it didn't just attract religious people. It was a very big also secular community. It was all about Zionism. It was about Jerusalem being reunited after since 48 up to 67 and the reunification. It was the more Zionistic sort of call. At the moment, it's very much a religious place. But back when I grew up, I think the call, the people, the reason why people moved there, it was a Zionistic call, understanding the importance of Jerusalem as the Jewish heart.
Now, your father was a rabbi and a shaliach. He went to many far-flung countries around the world to support Jewish communities. Which countries did he go to?
Oh, gosh. So he started off being a shaliach for the American, the joint. And through that, he spent 3 years in Siberia in a place called Irkutsk. And he did about 2 years in Azerbaijan. And he went to St. Petersburg as well. And he went to East Berlin. And he was there with my mom the year that the wall came down. And then independently, not through the joint, by other organization, he went to Manila and he was there for in the Philippines for 8 years. And he also went, I think, to, is it Paraguay? And even came to Ireland or Scotland. It was for to do butchering. Rita, my good old mom, followed him everywhere. And she did all the achnasat orchim and he did all the kiruv.
A great
very
team.
Good. Very, very excellent team, complementing each other very well.
Focusing in on Passover, on Pesach, What are your early memories of Pesach in the Old City?
Oh, God, I don't know. I was thinking about that. It's all merged into sort of one because all usually we would, it would just be us. Then I have three older brothers. Sometimes we have aunts and uncle come and join us. But it was very much, I feel sorry for, I'm laughing because now I understand the pains that my father went, because my father was Talmid Chacham, and he was, you know, he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of really prolonging the Seder and analyzing every little sentence in the Haggadah. And then he prepared so much Dvar Torah to tell us. And of course, we kids, we just want to eat. So we kept interfering, and we never, and you could see the frustration on his face. At the time, we thought it was funny. My poor father, he never actually got to tell everything he wanted to. Now I see my husband, Johnny, when he tries to say Dvar Torah on the Shabbat table, each Shabbat, and the children not always very receptive. And I can see his frustration. And now I don't find that very funny.
It's amazing how we relive our younger lives, yes, through our older lives as well. Sharona, were you Sephardic?
Yes, both my parents are from Morocco.
What are the different customs for Pesach, for the Sephardim in particular,
well,
Moroccans?
Well, to start with, we can eat kitniyot, which is wonderful.
Lucky you.
Yes, it makes life so much easier.
For those people who might not understand the intricacies of kidneyot, what does that mean you can eat?
Hummus, rice, and peanuts, and corn, and all the things that Ashkenazim can't eat. And so some yogurt for some reason that I think we can eat and Ashkenazim can't eat. Pardon? Chocolate, yes, there's something, some restriction on some chocolates. And so I used to tease my Ashkenazi friends when I would eat those things in front of them, and like they can't eat. Yeah, that was funny.
Every family creates traditions themselves, have traditions that were handed down by their parents and their grandparents, or create new traditions from guests that are at the Seder. What were your family traditions for Seder night?
To me, that is the Seder I know. So I don't know if it's just authentic to us, our family, or whether it was just the way it was done, it's done everywhere. But it's the my mom, charoset, the Moroccan charoset, my father on Pesach. So we, you know, the korech, the part of the korech, and using my mom's Moroccan charoset, which I think is far superior to Ashkenazi charoset, if I must say. And that was the best thing. And of course, the afikoman, which is, it's not a particular tradition for us, but that was the bit that we always waited for the most. And I've got three older brothers, so I'm the only girl.
So you were the only girl and the youngest, so sport rotten.
Well, you would think so. I never found the afikoman. I never won. And then they never even pretended to let me find it. They just all went for it, and I never got it.
Oh, well, one year.
Maybe.
There's a knock on the door, Sharona. You're just about to start your own family Seder. Your guest from Jewish history, past or current, is at the door. When you open the door, who is it?
It has to be my absolute hero, superhero, Menachem Begin.
And why Menachem Begin?
Oh, my God. He is the perfect example of what a Jew is and what a Jew should be. I've read all his books, and I read books about him, and it pains me to know that I was alive when he was alive, but I was too young to appreciate him when he was still around. The most important thing for him was being Jewish and also the care for other Jewish people. Whenever he addressed people, he was never addressing them as Israelis. It was always my brethren. If you want to know what it is to be Jewish, like really from the inside out, every fabric of his body was Jewish. He had so much, I can't find the word. There are no people like that nowadays. I mean, like, yes, we're all proud of being Jewish, but he had it in every fabric of his being.
What do you think his contribution to the Jewish history and the Jewish journey was?
100% certain that we wouldn't have the state of Israel when we did without Etzel and without his leadership of Etzel. I know that in history, back then, he would have been considered a terrorist, particularly by the British. But reading the history of what he did, I think he's absolutely instrumental for the establishment of the modern state of Israel.
Now, it's always intrigued me with Menachem Begin. You know, he was a serial loser of elections. I can't remember how many elections he lost, six, seven,
eight. He won his ninth, right.
In most countries, and certainly today, if a politician loses an election, that's it. Their history, they're out and somebody else is there. I've always found it quite extraordinary that there was that tenacity about Menachem Begin.
He was going to retire. He was going to. And then there was some event. I can't remember what event it was. I'm just reading a book, actually, at the moment about him. He was persuaded by his friends. They begged him to come back. And so he did.
The rest is history, yes, as they say. When he's sitting next to you,
oh God,
what would you ask him?
All his decisions, and it's very consistent, I think. Every decision is always taken, I think he took from the point of view of the ethos of Judaism, of being like a Jewish person. I would ask him if there is, retrospectively, is there any decision that he regrets that he would have done differently? I mean, like, we're talking about the King David bombing, or what happened in Deir Yassin, or the Atalanta, or the Lebanon War, and things like that. Just to know if, when I read his history, it always says that he always stood by his decision. But hindsight is a wonderful thing. So I was wondering, would he have, in retrospectively, have done things differently?
I mean, one of the things that Menachem Begin will always be remembered for was the historic peace agreement with Sadat. Would you want to ask him about those negotiations and what was it that pushed both of them over the edge to agree?
That is a very good question. Yeah, I'd definitely ask him, because when you read of what happened in the, I think it was the Yehuda Avner book about the prime ministers, I think he gives a really good chapter about what happened in Camp David. Menachem Begin was really, really pushed. And not just by Sadat, by Jimmy Carter. How he withstood those pressures, I don't know how it's humanly possible to withstand the pressures that he did to give in. And yes, he gave in on some things, but, you know, Jerusalem, for example, was absolutely a non-starter for him, which would have, you know, maybe someone else would have discussed Jerusalem, but for him it was a no-go zone, and he had so much pressure on him, and yet he still stood his ground.
Well, clearly a giant in Jewish history. Finally, Sharona, many people have different parts of Pesach, different parts of the Seder service that they look forward to the most. What do you look forward to the most?
I like the beginning, the singing of Halayla, you know, the four questions.
Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, yeah.
I do. I absolutely love that bit of singing. Going back to, you know, my childhood, my father, he would not relent. He would go through the whole service. And so even after you bench, there's all that Hallel and all the singing, and he would go and sing every single song. And he would sing it louder than the noise that we made. Occasionally, I would actually sit and just listen to him and just take a moment and listen to him. I love that. I wish I could have that again.
Well, Sharona Paul, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, an Anu community project. The home Seder service has been an integral part of Jewish community and Jewish family life. To find out more about this series and listen to other interviews, just go to mysederguest.com. To explore Anu, go to anumuseum.org.il. Thank you to all of our guests for sharing their stories and being so generous with their time.